Great to gather together with you tonight here at Jericho Road. Kind of a privilege to travel on together and to worship the Lord as we've been doing, and now to dig into God's Word together. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul made the point that there now abides these three things: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, he says, is love. And of course, we concur with that very quickly, probably. God's love, I mean, that agape love of God, that unconditional love of God, that which will go on while everything else will. Faith and hope and all become realities. We'll be home with him and all, but love will continue on. So we can see why he says that the greatest of these is love. But he talks about the three things that abide, you know, a love, okay, we get that. Faith, we can say, okay, I see the importance of faith. Faith is that thing by which it says it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is that by which we appropriate what God has for us into our lives and all. So we understand faith and love. But it's interesting that third things now, what abides are these three things. And he talks about faith and love, but then he puts in hope. I wonder how well we could really say, well, why hope? He could have put lots in there, that there now abides love and faith and peace or joy. He could have put a lot, but hope. And I don't know that hope is on our radar as much as faith and love so often is tonight. It's hopefully going to encourage us toward that. As you know, we're going through our series. Oh, did you start the clock, Joe? Where's Joe? Did you start the clock on me here, Joe, yet? If not, you can start it right now. He and I are sharing teaching duties, and we've kind of agreed to not keep this going forever each night. Then again, these topics are the kind of topics that, how do you boil it down? Anyway, we're doing a Beyond Measure series this summer, and this evening we're doing the Beyond Measure. We're looking on the focus of hope. Let's pray. Father, though on one hand I know we're just going to kind of scratch the surface, I pray, Lord, that you will take us and focus in on what we most need to hear, that which you would want to minister to us, that which you'd want to equip us with, to hold open to others. Lord, speak to us in this time. Help us to really just be refreshed and reminded of the great hope that we have in you. Maybe someone tonight, Lord, needs to be reminded of that hope. Maybe they're feeling kind of hopeless. So I pray you'd minister, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not a newsflash to say that people are in need of hope. They hunger for hope. We live in a world that is ultimately hopeless without God. Turn to Romans chapter 15, if you would. Romans 15. We're going to do a little bit of, just a couple of places to bounce around tonight, but hopefully profitable. Romans 15, 13. As we look tonight at the beyond measure of God's hope for us, Romans 15, 13, where Paul prays, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Interesting, it's rhetorical, but just to think about, how does Paul describe God here in this text? He's described here, given the title, if you will, of the God of hope. May the God of hope fill you. Only God has real hope. He is the God of hope. And only he offers and has for us real hope. The hope we really need. Only found one place. But notice Paul's prayer there, his desire. That the God of hope, great title, would fill you, that's us, with all joy and peace in believing. To what end? To what end? To what purpose? That you may abound in hope. And how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Beyond measure. The way to phrase that, abounding. That you would have hope, that we'd realize that we have the hope available to us beyond measuring. That we would abound in it. I mean, what's it mean to abound? How much is it to abound? We abound in something. And how much power is that if you're abounding in something that God gives you? That be by the power of the Holy Spirit. How much power is that? How much hope is that? How much hope does, if you're abounding in it, it's given to the power of the Holy Spirit, just how much hope is that? More than we could ever tap out. It's a hope that God gives beyond measure. You'll never exhaust His supply of it. You'll never run dry of it. If you look up in Wikipedia, the word hope, it says, quote, hope is an optimistic attitude of mind based on an expectation of positive outcomes related to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. You boil it down, Wikipedia says, hope is an optimistic state of mind which basically is rooted in hoping that things will turn out a certain way, that they'll turn out in a positive way, a good way, that things will go your way. And we've heard that term. Well, I hope so. And there's nothing wrong sometimes to say that. Well, you're going to be there? Well, I hope to make it. Nothing wrong with that, using it that way. But that's kind of how the world uses it. But what brought God's hope into a place of saying hope, faith, hope, and love? It's ranked up there. The greatest of that those three things still abide. A key point in hope is this. Hope is only as good as what it's anchored in. Hope is only as good as what we place our hope in. God's hope is not like the world's hope. Again, it's one of those places you almost wish you had a separate word. God's hope is not just wishful thinking. Rather, it's a confident expectation that God will do as He has promised. Hope takes the Word of God at face value. We've come to believe it. We know it so because of the God who it's rooted in. The hope of the Bible is the expectation of a sure and certain outcome. Thus, it's called in the Bible a living hope because it's anchored in our living Savior. Too often we place hope on things and we decide if hope, if it's going to line up with what we hope it's going to come out like or something to result in what we think it should. But the Lord wants to have us to have a hope, of course, not anchored on those kind of things, not the outcome of a particular sporting event or something or whatever that might be. But with that idea that hope is only as good as what it's anchored in, I'm led to focus on two particular passages this evening. The goal is just to soak us in these truths. So turn now to the right, to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. It was only a few summers ago, by the way, that I did a whole series. We did a summer series here, 8 weeks series on the topic of hope. And so when I came to tonight, beyond measure applied to the area of hope, got out those notes, looked at it, and I said, Lord, eight messages, crunched into like 20 minutes. So I said, Lord, help us zero in. So I pray the Lord will help us zero in on what we need to leave here with encouraged in the area of that we have a hope, unlike the world's hope, and it's a hope we'll never tap out. It's a hope beyond measure. Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly, beyond measure, more abundantly to the heirs of promise, the immutability of His counsel, that means the unchangeableness, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So we're getting into now the next verse we're talking about, hope as an anchor of the soul. Verse 19. So, we are those who have fled for refuge, it says, to lay hold of the hope set before us. And He wants to know, He wants to give us the sureness of this, the immutability of it, that it's not going to change. The basis doesn't change. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. See, we're talking about why is hope so important? We have it as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So Paul, if we believe Paul, put it this way, the author of Hebrews, he has declared, he's saying here, that we have hope as an anchor for our soul, sure and steadfast. Because what do anchors do, of course? You throw them out to keep you secure when the seas are rough, when you're battered by the storms. And we have a place that no matter what storms we face, we have a place where we can anchor ourselves, if you will. We anchor ourselves, and it's a sure, steadfast anchor. Hope beyond measure is our focus. Now notice, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. By the way, anchors are meant to hold us in place when the tides and storms would try to move us. So an anchor holds us in every storm. But an anchor is not a promise of no storm. An anchor doesn't promise us there'll be no storm. An anchor is supposed to secure us in the storm. So too often when things come along, storms come along, we can be challenged. Our hope can be challenged. I don't get it. Am I going through this? Lord, I thought you were on my side. I thought, you know, what's, and our hope can get shaken if we don't have it in the right place. Verses 17 and 18 are interesting because he says, God has done all this to show more abundantly, which kind of sounds like a beyond measure statement, the unchangeableness of his purpose. That's what immutability. The immutability of his counsel. His purpose doesn't change. He has said he's going to present us faultless before his throne, that he's begun a good work, he's going to complete it. We have a true and living hope. Our eternity is secure. See, it's an anchor inside the veil. It's in him. And nothing's going to change that, no matter what storms we go through. I remember a gentleman who attended here for quite a while, retired from the Navy. And he said one time he was on a ship. And one time one of the chiefs and one of the officers got called to the captain because the chain to the anchor had broken on the ship, and they lost their anchor. And that's no small thing for one of the big ships like the Navy. And he said they called up the chief in charge of that department and the officer and said, how come you guys lost me an anchor? And they're in big trouble. The chief goes, sir, I told Lieutenant so-and-so that he had a bad link. That chain has a bad link. You're going to lose that. And he showed him in the log. I wrote it in. The captain looked at it and looked at the chief and said, you're excused. And he turned to the officer and said, now you're going to get fried. Your link. Got to keep a strong chain. You're not going to break a link. God's anchor is secure. That we might have strong consolation, stronger than what we face. Are you facing a challenge? Are things kind of tugging at you to think that maybe there isn't hope? He does all this that we'd have a strong consolation to all those who fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And again, verses 19 and 20 are classic. We know them so well because, I mean, that whole vision of an anchor as a symbol of Christianity is so true. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul. You and I need an anchor, and we're given one. Sure, it's steadfast. And it enters behind the veil. The anchor starts here, and it's... I asked one of those Navy guys, how does an anchor really work? I mean, you throw it out there, how come it doesn't just get dragged along the bottom? He says, well, that's why they have the flukes that come out on it, and they grip things and everything else, and the weight, and they grip on everything. Well, I don't know how a worldly anchor works, but God's anchor is found, it's in. is anchored in Jesus. I have heard that above Niagara Falls, a certain ways up the river, before you get to Niagara Falls, I have heard that there's a sign they've put out in the middle of the river there. It's a sign for boaters who might be boating in the Niagara River above the falls. And my understanding is it's a sign that has two questions on it. The first one is, do you have an anchor? But the second question is, do you know how to use it? Oh yeah, there's an anchor in the back somewhere. Do you know how to effectively use it? You don't want to date with the falls down the river. Spiritually speaking, do we have an anchor? Yes, we just read about it. Sure, solid. We're anchored in the Lord. He is our living hope, not circumstances, not events. The Lord is my anchor. But do I know how to avail myself of it, so to speak? Do I know how to look to and rest in the assurance He'd have for us in that? Turn to Romans. Be the last one I have you turn to. Turn to Romans 5 as we talk about that. Romans 5. Hope as an anchor. And how does this whole thing work? Therefore, we're in Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now watch, here comes what is often called the chain of hope. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character what? Hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice the steps. Tribulation, perseverance, character, hope. Experience teaches us that our hope in Jesus is not misplaced. Now, most of us probably would, we all want to hopefully develop character and have more hope. But you'll notice God, see, we might say, Lord, can we skip the tribulation trial part, and can you just go ahead and sprinkle some hope on me while I'm asleep? That's how I want it. Just increase my character and hope while I'm asleep. No, that's not how God works. Tribulations, through perseverance, to character, to hope. But through that experience, He supernaturally, by the power of the Spirit, works that truth into my life, where I begin to know that I know. Therefore, I have a great hope, because He won't fail. And now hope does not disappoint. The hope that tribulation and this chain of hope works into our life is a hope that will not disappoint. Because we're assured of this, because why? God has proved, He has displayed His intentions towards us, again, to complete that work. The proof being the love of God. Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit and given to us. When the Holy Spirit came inside, among other things, He brought hope. He brought hope. He has poured, God's love has been poured out to us through the Holy Spirit, and He brought hope. Remember the earlier passage? By the power of the Holy Spirit, this hope has worked in all of us. We will never be ashamed for hoping in God. It will never disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. It will not run dry. Because again, it's rooted in the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot tap the power of the Holy Spirit out. You can't. You won't run Him dry. Well, I'm tapped out. Come back tomorrow. And because of that, His hope will always be there. Again, notice that tie into the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13 passage says, by the Holy Spirit, here we have this work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and He imparts so much to us. Hope is one of those things. He gives to us from His inexhaustible supply. So tonight, what are we looking at? We're looking at hope. And that we're called to abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit poured out into us. So tonight, do you need a renewed sense of hope? Then go see a prayer partner for the night's over and get some prayer. But if you don't do that, get alone with God and ask God to cause the Holy Spirit to give you a renewed sense, an awareness of the hope that you have, and how that you're anchored. That hope is an anchor for our soul. We're called those who flee for refuge to the one who's the anchor for our hope. So remember the chain of hope. Now, lastly, we all do struggle with this sometimes, don't we? We struggle with having hope in the light of how it is going or what we see. But think about it. Why do we often struggle having hope? There were two men on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had been crucified. He also was raised again from the dead, but they don't know this yet. And they're walking along the road, and they're sad, and they're commiserating over what's gone on. They don't know what's going on. You know, Jesus, he went to the cross. We've heard he's risen, but we don't know what to make of this. Jesus comes up next to them, and he says, what's going on? They explain. And they begin their explanation saying, well, we had hoped. Jesus had come, and we thought he was Messiah, but now this has happened. And we had hoped. And what it displayed was they'd gotten their hope back on the horizontal. The circumstances right now are such that we don't get it. So all of a sudden, hoped. It's a past tense. We had hoped that he was going to be the answer. Because they're looking around. They're looking at circumstances. Why do we struggle so often? Because circumstances are strong. And they do get our attention if we're not careful. But once he sat down with them, well, we walked with them. He opened the scriptures to them to show them how this had to happen to him. But then he fed them, broke the bread, their eyes were open, they saw it was Jesus. And they go from those who are hopeless to a great hope. It says, man, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? They went from hopeless and down to hearts on fire, full of passion for the Lord, with a great hope. And that's what happens to us often. We get our eyes on the circumstance, and all of a sudden but let us rest in where we are anchored. I guess what I'm saying is our hope is rooted in God's character, not circumstances. Our anchor holds behind the veil in the Lord, not in the shifting tides of the world. Our hope is rooted in God's character. Our hope is rooted in God's nature. Our hope is rooted in God's promises. Our hope is rooted in his faithfulness. Our hope is rooted in his purposes. See, all that put together, that's a hope that's beyond measure. And that hope is ours. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you guys to go ahead and come on up and wrap us up? I hope this provokes some go home and some prayer time and Bible study time or some discussion, and help us all keep our eyes vertically on him who holds us, on him where our anchor holds. Let's pray. Father, help us to keep our eyes looking up. Help us to keep our eyes anchored on you. Help, Lord, don't let the circumstances get that place in our lives, Lord. As strong as the storms may be, thank you, David, we have an anchor that holds sure and steadfast. Hope as an anchor for our soul in Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord, that no matter what we face throughout the day, we have that abiding, covering hope. All glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close in song.